Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good morning, everyone. This is Dr. Hank Clemens, and you're on with the Dr. Hank Show. I know everybody's so accustomed to hearing some live music or music anyway, but today I just thought we'd save the introduction piece and just dive right into the show. Why? Well, because one, we have a great show for you, and I don't want to lose not just one moment. I don't want to lose one moment of our guest time. Our guest today is, well, it's going to be a new meeting. For the very, very first time, welcome. We appreciate it. Love to have you with us today to talk about investing in community mediation. Yes, our guest will be none other than David Brandon, Managing Director of the JAMS Foundation. Now, if you're not familiar with the JAMS Foundation, all I can ask you to do is to stay tuned. Stay tuned. And we'll bring David in just a few minutes. But first, I got to tell you about something that's coming up in, just about 10 days. Actually, it's a little less than 10 days, more like about 7 days. Yeah. And it's the 9th Annual Society of Emotional Intelligence Annual Conference. The 9th Annual Society of Emotional Intelligence Annual Conference. Now, why did I just kind of tell you about that? Well, because it's a time for you to get your EQ on. Yes, a time to get your EQ on. And by that, I mean we're going to have a host of presenters, experts in the field of emotional intelligence. Some are practitioners that are willing to share their secrets with you. Some are coaches that are willing to share their secrets with you. And some come from the field of medicine or from the field of psychiatry, but they're all engaged in emotional intelligence in some way or another. And they're here to share their secrets with you. They're here to share their secrets with you. And give you an idea of a couple. Well, now, this is just a couple of the titles and a couple of the presenters. Kicking it off, we're going to have Sarah Spradlin. Now, she's the chair of our Virginia chapter of the Society of Emotional Intelligence. What's her topic? Her topic is emotional intelligence, the intersection between warrior meets Wall Street. The warrior meeting Wall Street. As it relates to emotional intelligence, now you may be asking, now how does emotional intelligence show up in something like that? Well, you're going to have to come to the conference to find out. I mean, she's the expert. She's going to be sharing that information with us. And then we're going to have Dr. Darvis Frazier, who's currently working as a neuropsychologist at one of the hospitals here in the Florida area. His focus, emotions in the aging brain, how age and brain health inform emotional behavior. Wow. Now, see, that you typically don't think about. You don't think about the aging brain and emotional intelligence and what goes on there. Well, this is going to be new stuff because I'm telling you, we have a dynamite lineup of speakers. If you haven't registered for the conference yet, I'm going to suggest You go online and do that now. You can register either by going to societyofei.org and go to the conference page and register that way, or you can go to Eventbrite. We have it set up on Eventbrite so that you can go to Eventbrite and pull up the 9th Annual Conference on Emotional Intelligence, and you can register through Eventbrite. In other words, we don't want to limit the number of ways that you can register for the conference. We want you to be able to tune in, check in a number of ways. We also have Dr. Anlon Nguyen. She's going to be sharing information around emotional intelligence through the lens of GRACE. Now, we call it GRACE, but GRACE is an acronym, and she's going to share that acronym with us and how emotional intelligence plays such a dynamic role in working with others. And just in case you think that, well, sitting all day is going to be tough, you're not going to be able to walk, or geez, you know, when you sit all day, you know, your butt kind of gets stiff or tired. Well, hey, don't worry, because we're going to have our own yogi. We're going to have our own yogi on site. Simi Prothin is going to be with us, and she's going to be taking us through 3 minutes of yoga stretch at the end of each, well, let's say at the end of each session, or just before the break, when we come back from lunch, before the afternoon break. So she's going to keep us energized throughout the conference with yoga, stretching exercises, and activities. Now, I know some of you are probably saying, geez, I can't stretch. Hey, everyone can stretch. Everyone can do yoga. I know you can. So get ready to put on your yogi. Well, you don't have to have a yoga mat and any of that, because the dress at the conference is casual. So just come as you are, as the saying goes, and that'll work out just perfectly. And just in case you get hungry, well, when lunchtime rolls around, man, we got a great lunch for New York style deli. In other words, build your own. You have soups and salads and sandwiches, so you'll get a chance to BYO. That's build your own, not bring your own, but build your own. Okay? In the afternoon, we have more experts. We got Dr. Davis from Harding University in Arkansas to give us a look at it from the academic side. And then we have Sabrina Bohan. And, you know, I was talking about our guest today from JAMS Foundation and Community Mediation. Well, Sabrina deals with community mediation, but she's going to give it a little twist and going to show how emotional intelligence ties in to community mediation, or mediation in general. Her title, her topic, Head or Gut, Recognizing the Emotional and Psychological Heart of Empathy. Wow. It's getting more exciting as I read these things off to you. I'm excited. I hope you are too. And as a matter of fact, like I said, one of the things you can do, you can go to our website, societyofei.org, go to the conference page, and you can register that way, or you can just go to Eventbrite. Everybody knows about Eventbrite. So you go to Eventbrite, search for the 9th Annual Conference on Emotional Intelligence. That'll be us. You can pull it up and you can register through Eventbrite. Well, like I said, we have a great guest for you today, and I don't want to take any more of his time. We'll come back near the end and tell you a little bit more about the conference and all. But our guest today is David Brandon, and he's the Managing Director of the JAMS Foundation. So if you don't know what the JAMS Foundation, what I'm going to say is stay tuned or call in and ask questions, because I think David is going to enlighten all of us about JAMS and what they're all about and how they work and how it ties to community mediation and so forth and so on. So let me just give a quick check. Good morning, David. Are you there? Oh, it sounds like he hasn't come on yet. Good morning, David. Are you there yet? Well, if you're not there, don't worry about it. We'll reach over here and pick you up here shortly, but talk a little bit more about the conference and see if, well, let me just check one more time. Good morning, David. Are you there? You're on the Dr. Hank Show. David, are you with us yet? Well, doesn't sound like it right now, so let me do one more quick check. Good morning,
hello,
David.
Hello, I am
there?
On the line. Can you
are
hear
you
me?
You're here. Whoa, gotcha, gotcha.
I could hear you. I'm glad you can now hear me.
Yes, that was me. It wasn't you. It wasn't you. That was me. I have all these control buttons and switches here, and I hadn't pushed the right one. I was badly pushing them. You know, like when you're on a typewriter, you're hitting all those keys. Well, that's
sure.
What I was doing. I was hitting all those buttons, and I finally got to the right one. Good morning. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you.
Good, good. Well, thanks for taking the time out of your busy day running the JAMS Foundation and all to spend some time to talk with our listeners and give us a little insight into what JAMS is all about and so forth and so on. And the topic is investing in community mediation, but I know there's a lot more that you can share with us. So for those that may not know David, can you give us a little bit of your background?
Sure. Well, my background is that I am a resident of California, born and raised. I attended the University at UC Berkeley and went to law school there. And upon completion of law school in Berkeley, it became clear to me that I was not destined to be an advocate or a lawyer. But it was at a time when mediation was really starting to blossom as a field. And I really started, you know, finding various points of entry to sort of engage with that community more. And that has certainly evolved in many positive and good ways over time, including my work with the JAMS Foundation.
Wow.
Just to give you a quick little background on the, you know, how the foundation came to be. For those
okay.
not familiar with JAMS as a for-profit company, JAMS is a very successful commercial dispute resolution company. They do mediation and arbitration, other forms of neutral dispute resolution. They
mm-hmm.
have over 20 offices around the country. It is one of the
wow.
largest and most successful companies of its kind. But one of the offshoots of that success in the commercial realm is that the people of JAMS, the community, both staff members and the neutrals themselves, collectively created a separate nonprofit foundation, the JAMS Foundation, specifically intended to support the conflict resolution field, to give back to our communities both locally, nationally, and internationally as well. And really to sort of create this sort of unified voice of how we could do good in our communities and turn some of the success of the company to benefit society more broadly.
Wow. I like the term that you use, do good in the community, you know, because there are so many, I want to say organizations or whatnot, that say that they're all about doing good in the community, but nothing, very little shows up. And so when you are saying doing good in the community, what might be an example of doing good?
Well, we're trying in many ways. And again, this particular conversation is about community mediation. But, you know, we see conflict erupt in so many different arenas, both in local neighborhood community settings, but also in national, international conflicts. And what we are trying to do with the various programs that we sponsor and support is to give people a new language, a new set of tools for addressing the disputes and the conflicts that we know arise both at the local level and in much bigger ways, and realizing that our history is filled with both positive and negative ways of responding to
mm-hmm.
conflict. And here we are now, you know, 30 or 40 years into the development of the conflict resolution field. We have learned some things. We have developed a certain fluency in terms of how we talk about conflict, and some of the responses and the strategies that we've developed for helping people navigate and move beyond it. And so whether it's at the community level or in other programs, we're really trying to just shift the conversation from people's, you know, often knee-jerk reactiveness to conflict and challenges they face, and to give them just a more positive and constructive set of tools mm-hmm. to be able to address that in their own lives and in their communities.
Wow. Yeah, I can see that would be, you know, an awesome task there in and of itself. Now, one of the things that you said earlier was that JAM does mediations itself as an organization?
Yeah, the company itself, basically, works mostly with cases in litigation, in some cases before cases are in litigation. But they're all cases that, basically pass through the civil justice system. So it really runs the gamut from any type of dispute that you could file a lawsuit over. You can also try to mediate that case before the lawsuit proceeds to try to settle it in a way that's more satisfying and maybe mutually beneficial to both parties rather than the typically all-or-nothing result that you would get in a court hearing.
Well, then do you operate in the same sphere or the same, how do I want to say that? In other words, do you do the same thing that a community mediation center might do?
I would say that there's a lot of the same skills that come into play, a lot of the same approaches and techniques that you might, to kind of draw out people's stories and then have them start thinking more broadly and constructively about how they might resolve the issue that they're facing. So there's a tremendous overlap, I think, between the commercial cases that JAMS does as a company and the kind of work that it supports in the community and in other contexts outside of commercial settings. But I think if you were to speak to commercial mediators and community mediators, they would have a lot to talk about and would share a lot of perspectives about the work that they do. One thing that I note and what got me into this field early on is that at JAMS and commercial cases, these are almost always represented by lawyers, insurance people, other third parties. In the community
okay.
mediation setting, you're very seldom having to work through third-party representatives. You're dealing with the parties themselves in this very direct, intimate way, and it allows for a sort of connection that I think is more challenging when you have third parties between you. And
mm-hmm.
for me, when I first came out of school, I was trained as a community mediator, and if I've found any calling in this life, that was the work that I found tremendously resonant in terms of how satisfying it was for people to both perceive that you were there as a volunteer trained, but ultimately
yeah.
they're volunteering your time to help them with their dispute. So that
wow.
alone, I think, is a rare feature that many people in conflict don't have the occasion to feel that people are really there, not only willing to listen to them, but willing to help them process their issues.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I would imagine, for the most part, most people think when they are going to get a dispute resolved some way or another, that it's going to what cost them, financially. They're going to have to pay a large sum to go to court or whatever, because typically that's what people think in terms of dispute. You got to go to court.
I think that's right. And in most community settings, there is, as far as possible, they are trying to offer a no-cost service to the communities they serve. In some cases, just out of necessity, some centers, sort of need to charge something for,
sure.
what they're offering on a sliding scale. But that even is a sliding scale. And I think, by and large, the ethos is they want to turn no one away that is in need of their services, but just certain practical realities of nonprofit organizations trying to kind of keep their lights on and keep their services provided. But for the most part, community mediation centers are a very easy access, entry to a mechanism for trying to deal with conflict. And if there is a cost, it is typically minimal compared to anything you would face going to court.
Right, right. So in JAM's support of community mediation, does JAM support other organizations, let's say, not community mediation types of organizations?
So I know that I don't want to get too far off topic, but to answer your question sort of as briefly as I can, we have several major initiatives that we support. community mediation and a mini grant program that I'm happy to share with you through our partnership with the National Association for Community Mediation. That is a meaningful piece of the work that we fund and support. Other initiatives involve student and youth-related initiatives, specifically dealing with younger people. We have a couple major initiatives focused on police and community relations and helping communities deal with civil unrest and some of the issues that lead to civil unrest. And we also have an international fellowship program that brings people from all over the world to study what we do and then go back to their home countries and spread that word and do good work there. So those four major initiatives are a large part of what we do. But community mediation, for me, resonates as something that we have always embraced from the very earliest days of the foundation. Some of our very earliest grants were to local community mediation centers to, you know, revamp materials on peer mediation, to do other programs. But by and large, these were very local programs doing work, you know, in a fairly small area. Along the way, as a funder, we started a conversation with NAFCM, the National Association for Community Mediation, which really is sort of the umbrella organization for several hundred local centers around the country, about how we might be able to do bigger work, to do larger scale projects that might have impacts, you know, across, you know, their full membership and not necessarily individual projects. Mm-hmm. And so that sort of initiated various projects with NAFCM, specifically around doing work that all of their centers around the country would be able to benefit from. And that
what
included doing... Oh, I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say, what drew you to NAFCM? I mean, there are other sort of community, quasi-community mediation groups out there. What drew you to NAFCM?
Well, partly because they seem to have a connection and a reach to just a broader range of centers around the country. I think our partnership with them has helped to strengthen this. But there are many community mediation organizations and community groups doing a wide variety of social service work that bridges into the area of dispute resolution and mediation. But NAFCM as an organization really is committed to the world of community mediation as such, which really is its own unique and wonderful thing that, you know, exists in communities across the country, whether they're urban, suburban, rural, big or small. There's a lot of this work being done, but typically underfunded and not receiving the full support that it needs to thrive in the ways that it can, and that is part of what the JAMS Foundation is trying to address.
Well, I can, on behalf of NAFCM, I can certainly say that I certainly appreciate your involvement with them and appreciate, you know, the partnership, quasi-partnership, and the relationship that you guys have. What's been some of the work the foundation has funded, you know, through NAFCM?
There's a few good answers to that question. One has to do with what is called the State of Community Mediation. Basically, we supported several years ago, and we are currently in the process of revamping that report, a fairly comprehensive survey of what community mediation centers are doing, what types of cases are filling their time, what challenges they face, what solutions they have found and, you know, been able to, you know, either to generate revenue or to, you know, make inroads into an otherwise unserved need that they've identified. And so, and you know, and also to provide some kind of statistics about how that work is going and to give individual centers a sense of what's happening in the bigger picture around the country. So that State of Community Mediation report is one snapshot that we are supporting to really give all centers sort of some insight and a reflection back about how they might want to grow and develop going forward. We've also supported the revamp of community mediation materials. So if someone is looking to create a mediation center, there's a lot of nuts and bolts administration around that about quality control and training modules and evaluation protocols. We have supported the development of materials that were then disseminated to all of NAFCM's member centers. And so each of them are sort of getting our state-of-the-art best practice guide about how to do the work that they're doing.
That's nice.
Two. One other thing I'd like to share with you is our partnership with NAFM around a mini-grant program. This is currently what we've been all doing together for the last several years. What this involves is each year NAFM surveying their field, finding what are the most compelling and unmet needs. What are the areas where we should be funding projects and doing pilots and experimenting with making some positive progress? And each year, there's a new subject area selected. We have funded mediation program for returning veterans coming back from war. We have funded police community relations work. There have been tracks devoted to elder care and aging, to homelessness and homeless prevention. So at each stage, we're really trying to see where is the need and where can we plug in. And the mini-grant program, to give you a very brief summary of it, we are granting relatively small grants to several different organizations working in the same field. So if this year's field is going to be prison reentry and reintegration, we will have four or five grants going to organizations that will then be working as a team, as a learning community throughout the grant period, working on their own projects, but also working to reinforce and support one another and to sort of act as sort of a feedback and quality control loop during the grant period to strengthen the programs that each is working on. And the fruits of those small grants are then shared with several hundred member centers. So these small grants each year are then leveraged to something that we are hoping will be of a benefit to the entire community mediation field.
How are these activities, developed? Who comes up with them? Is that something that, you send out to the mediation centers that, come up with your best guess on?
Well, and that is the challenge working in the nonprofit world. We truly want to say yes to each and every worthy project, and these are all good projects. But of necessity, the mini grant program is a competitive process. So there's a request for proposal each year that goes out, and people respond to that. And what we're doing is, among the dozens of responses that we'll get to that RFP, we're trying to really identify the strongest proposals with the greatest opportunity for success and impact and all that. So it is a competitive process, but every cycle, the entire membership of community mediation is at least has a bite of that apple, has a chance to consider, is that an area that I'm equipped for and able to expand into? So each year it only goes to a small number of centers, but it is open to the entire community.
Yeah, and also what I like about what I'm hearing is that even though, maybe only a few gets the grant or gets the opportunity for the grant, at the end, the results are shared across the entire organization, which allows the organization to benefit from, in other words, maybe they couldn't come up with just the right wording or so for the proposal, but they have some of the same issues. Once that has been tackled and researched and information pulled together on how to address those things, they can still walk away with, a template or something that they can just modify, I would assume, that will work for wherever they are. So they still get to benefit, although they may not have been awarded a grant.
That's exactly right, and that's exactly the hope, is that we understand that there's limited resources. How can we make the very most of them? And I think that the mechanism we've created both creates new and deeper connections between the individual centers, but also the relationship between NAFCM and their member centers, that it's become a stronger central sort of clearinghouse for information and advocacy. And I think, I'm proud of our partnership with NAFCM, and I think it's remarkable how they have served as both an umbrella for the field, as a conduit for information and sharing of resources between centers, and ultimately an amplifier of all these individual voices, sort of bringing it together in sort of a collective voice and support for community mediation and the important work it does.
Yeah, they are sort of like the, I don't want to say the clearinghouse, but they become the combined think tank that represents the entire organization or all of the community mediation centers, because they talk to each other, and what may be brought up or might be an issue for one may not be an issue for another. But when you ask everyone, they may have had a similar experience, but it wasn't a major issue, so they were able to resolve it. But now it's becoming something that a lot of others are beginning to experience. So they're asking the question, what can we do about it? So there's generally going to be some experience somewhere along the NAFCM community or the NAFCM network with that. So that's what I learned or discovered in my work with NAFCM over the years. Back to you guys and Roel. Why should others consider investing in the work of NAFCM? In other words, you know, I mean, is NAFCM, I'm going to put your feet to the fire here, is NAFCM that great that others you might want to invest in working with them?
My short answer is yes, and that is certainly the reason why we have embraced them as our partner. We have a very, you know, committed and, you know, smart panel on our board of directors, and they are very thoughtful mm-hmm. in how they approach the funding that we provide. But we're well aware that we don't have our finger on the pulse of what's happening in communities across the country in that direct way. And we mm-hmm. don't, for all of our skills and expertise in the commercial realm, don't necessarily know what the most immediate needs are on the ground in local communities. And NAFCM is connected and is conversant in what the issues are, and their members and their leadership are deeply connected to local events. And so, you know, why support NAFCM? Because it affects us all. I mean, they are an overseer and an umbrella for communities that we live in, where there are centers mm-hmm. very likely near our own homes and our own communities that are doing this work. And so the conflicts that NAFCM is helping to broker through its local centers and support, it affects us all in this very direct way. These are our neighbors. These are our friends and family. These are community groups that have competing interests. And so it's not work that is removed from us. It is work that touches us as close to home as I think any mediation work that I'm familiar with.
Right, right. And I just going to loosely term it, they're the boots on the ground a lot of times, you know, around issues that, you know, that you, meaning JAMS, may not hear about, you know, or may think is isolated, but when it comes from a number of different sources, you go, hey, that may be something that we need to take a look at, or that may be something that being experienced by a number of different entities. So what we
talk about. And I think the view of NAFCM as a national organization, I think NAFCM has the view to yeah. keep them from feeling isolated, to, you know, to reaffirm that these are common issues that we all share, and to provide some mechanism for sharing best practices and not having to reinvent those wheels.
Yeah, that is fantastic. That is fantastic. Well, let's see, you know, one of the things that we have on the show is that it's an open line sometimes. So from time to time, we may have listeners who may call in and want to have a dialogue with our guests or may have a question. So let me just check and see if there's anyone online. Is that okay with you?
Of course.
You're on with Dr. Hank on the Dr. Hank Show, and we're talking with David Brandon, who's the Managing Director of the JAMS Foundation. Is there anyone on the line that has a question or comment they'd like to throw either my way or David's way? Don't everyone jump in at once. any questions, comments from anyone? Just state your name and go ahead with your question or comment. Well, it looks like no one has any question or comment. They want to hear and listen to all of the information that all the wonderful information that you have to share, David. So let's continue. I just wanted to throw it open and see if there's any other, you know, comments or any other information that you'd like to share with our guests or listeners out there.
Well, I really want to say thank you for providing this opportunity just to kind of share this information. I am remarkably proud of the work that the foundation has been able to support, and our relationship with NAFCM has just been an incredibly successful and life-affirming collaboration in terms of taking a fairly small amount of resources and really making sure that those are put to the most effective use and shared with the widest audience and community of interested people. So, you know, you're making this time for me to both share this information and to tout NAFCM and its kind of key and vital role in keeping community mediation at the forefront and in people's minds. So I appreciate that tremendously. If there are no questions here, I am happy to have, you know, people find me afterward. I am available through the JAMS Foundation online. So I'd be happy to continue this conversation at some point in the future as well.
Oh, that's great. That's great. So just in case they don't have the number or email address to the JAMS Foundation, could you just share it with us?
My email address is dbrandon, D-B-R-A-N-D-O-N, at jamsfoundation.org. And my direct line in San Francisco is area code 415-774-2648.
Fantastic. Well, David, let me say thank you. I appreciate you taking the time to be on the show with us today. Look forward to either hearing from you again or hearing more about the great work that JAMS is doing in partnership with NAFCM.
Well, thank you again for taking the time and for giving me this time, and I wish you all a good day.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
There, you just had a great introduction to, if it's the first time that you've tuned in, you're a first-time listener to the Dr. Hank Show, and you didn't know that much about JAMS, J-A-M-S, and that's not about music, and it's not about rock and roll and dancing to the beat and jamming. And no, JAMS is a foundation that supports community mediation. And you just heard David Brandon give you, you know, a quick overview about the JAMS Foundation. And if you need more or want more information, feel free to email him at dbrandon, that's D-B-R-A-N-D-O-N, at jamsadr.com. That's his email address. His office number, area code 415-774-2648. That's 415-774-2648. And you can certainly find out more or get more information about JAMS and how it works in the field of community mediation. So thanks for tuning in to listen to that. I'm glad you're with us to hear that from David. Now, back to the information that I was sharing about the conference. Just to give you a couple of more insightful pieces or tips about the conference that's coming up April 5th and 6th in Orlando. I kind of shared with you what was happening on the first day, and that's April 5th. In the evening, we're going to have a meet the author and book signing from 4 to 6:30. From 4:30 to 6:00, meet the authors and book signing. Now, there are a lot of people in the field of emotional intelligence that have written books, have other kinds of information, and they're at the conference. They plan to be at the conference, so it's a good opportunity to meet with some of them and their brains, if you will, and find out more about How did they get to be where they are? How did they come up with the material, the books, or whatever it is that they may have? So that's from 4 to 6. And the next day, Saturday, have a great breakfast laid out for you. Not too heavy, you know, just enough to get you going. And remember, I mentioned yoga. There's going to be some yoga or stretching exercises before each session, not before each presentation, but before each session. So we'll have a morning session, which will be two or three speakers, then a break, and then the second part of the morning session, and then lunch. Okay, that's kind of how it's laid out. But we'll have someone, and that is our own yogi, who will be leading us in some yoga stretching exercises to keep us energized throughout the conference. So on Saturday morning, before we get started, we're going to do a little yoga, okay, a little stretching exercise, get us warmed up and ready to get going. And the first up is going to be Veronica Powell. She's from Washington, D.C. She does a lot of work around people who have mental health issues. And she's going to be sharing how she uses emotional intelligence in working with individuals that have mental health, you know, issues of various types. Okay. I can't be specific on the types of mental health, but, you know, she'll share that with you. Then we're going to have a panel discussion, an academic panel discussion, because our future leaders, they're in high school and they're in college right now. And we want them to be emotionally intelligent to lead us, right? We don't want to be led by those that lack emotional intelligence. We want to be led by individuals with emotional intelligence. So we're going to have a panel discussion that's going to share that information, what they're doing in some of their institution. I mentioned Dr. Davis at Harding University. He's going to be sharing a little bit about what he's doing. Martha Reed, who's at Indiana State University. She's going to be sharing what she's doing there. And, of course, we're going to have Joanne Quinn, who's working with folks at University of South Florida in the School of Medicine, the College of Medicine. So we got a lot of expert who's going to be sharing information about what they're doing in the academic arena. Then we're going to be sort of ending the session looking at emotional intelligence from a cultural perspective. We're going to have Patrice Borders, who's the chair of our Ohio chapter. She's going to be talking about inclusive leadership, emotional intelligence, implicit bias, and workplace culture. That's going to be covering a lot of stuff in a very short period of time. But believe me, if anyone can do it, she can do it. Okay? And then we're going to have Matt Perlstein, who's going to be closing out the conference with how emotional intelligence can lead to peace. How emotional intelligence can lead to peace. Whether we're talking about inner peace, whether we're talking about peace at home, peace at work, family peace, community peace. You know, we just got through talking about community mediation. So we may be talking about family peace, or we could even be talking about the idea of world peace. World peace. Isn't that something? World peace. So how emotional intelligence can lead to peace. Now just think about it. Peace. You know, we can have peace at a lot of different levels, whether we're talking about peace at home, community peace, individual peace, meaning peace within self, but we could also be talking about world peace, okay? So we'll let Matt unfold what he means by how emotional intelligence can lead to peace, okay? Now, you've had a chance to listen to just a few of the topic areas and some of the speakers. For more information on the conference and how to register, you can go to our website, societyofei.org. You go there, you'll find the conference tab. Click on it. When you click on the conference tab, it'll take you to the conference page where you get to see, you know, how to register, who's presenting what, you know, what the tuition for attending the conference is. And you can select whether you are a professional. There's a fee, a professional level. There's also a student rate, and there's also a member rate. By a member, I mean if you are a member of the Society of Emotional Intelligence, you pay a lesser rate than a non-member, okay? Now, I have to tell you about the at the door. The at the door. We don't want people registering at the last minute by showing up on the last day saying, you know, I just heard about this conference and I'm here and I'm ready to attend. I want to pay for it. Well, you can do that. You can do that. You know, I'm not going to say don't do it, but I am going to say the cost is slightly higher when you register and pay on site. Okay. What's the cost? Well, let's look at it this way. If you are a member, it's $279. If you're a non-member, it's $299. But if you pay at the door the day of the event, it's $349. So it's significantly more when you pay at the door. And I don't want you spending your money that way when you can register now and do it at a lower cost. Because I believe right now, you know, if you want to attend or if it sounds like something that you want to attend. So if you have to use your credit card or you ask a friend to loan you until next week or whatever, hey, go ahead and do it. You know, I'm trying to save you a few dollars by getting you to register now. So, yes, register now. You can do it online via societyofei.org, register that way, or you can go to Eventbrite. If you go to Eventbrite, look for the 9th Annual Conference on Emotional Intelligence. 9th Annual Conference on Emotional Intelligence, and you'll see how to pay for it via Eventbrite. Now, we've had people register via Eventbrite. Some say the registration process is easier that way. So if it's easier, use that. If it's not, just register through the societyofei.org and register that way. So you have two ways to register. And by the way, we take Visa, MasterCard, Amex, PayPal, just about any way other than, well, you can't send a check through the electronic or email system, but you can send it via the regular mail. So if you want to mail a check in, you got to get that check in prior to the conference date. Because if it comes in on the date of the conference, that check would have to be written for $349 rather than $249 or $279 or $299, whatever the rate is. Because what we're talking about is, you know, on conference day, the rate goes up significantly. I'd rather you not pay those differences. I'd rather you just go online, pay now, and take care of it that way. Okay? So, again, that's what's coming up. April 5th and 6th, the 9th Annual Conference. The theme is Putting Emotional Intelligence to Work. And the tagline is Get Your EQ On. So, before I go off the air today, I just want to say, are you ready to get your EQ on? If you are, then go sign up now for EQ 2019 or the 9th Annual Conference by the Society of Emotional Intelligence. So, this is Dr. Hank saying thanks for being with us today. I look forward to hearing from you, talking to you more, finding out more about what's going on, as we say, in your neck of the woods. So either give me a call or email me. You can email me at drhank at gmail. No, drhankshow@gmail.com.